And so we come to His Word in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 12 through 26. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 12 through 26. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our gracious Father, we're thankful again for Your Word. We're thankful that You speak to us, and what a great blessing that is. Now let us not take it for granted. For sometimes in the history of Your people, You have taken Your Word away from Your people because of their great sin and idolatry against You. We pray that You would not take it away. And we see that we have it before us. And so, Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 12. These are God's words. Then I turn myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he's already done. And I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Those are God's words. The message so far is, all is vanity. The preacher has stated so. The preacher is Solomon. He's investigated wisdom and knowledge, of which he was one of the wisest men ever to walk the earth. He searched knowledge and wisdom here under the sun, here on earth, and he determined at the end of chapter 1 that is like grasping for the winds. It's vanity. It's worthless. It's futile. As it doesn't truly make one happy, it doesn't truly satisfy, it doesn't fulfill you. To pursue endlessly knowledge and wisdom, at the end, you still don't have enough. Your end is the same as the one who is the fool, who never pursued such things, who never learned anything. Right? Some of you who are younger, if you only consider school and learning here under the sun, what's the point? In the end, you're really no greater place, greater state than the one who didn't apply themselves, didn't care about school, and who were horrible students. Some of you were and are great students. Some of you were or are poor students in school, but your end here under the sun is the same. Death in the grave. And then chapter 2 through verse 11, we investigated with Solomon pleasure. Again, just like wisdom, Solomon had unlimited access to all forms of pleasure and entertainment and amusement and laughter under the sun. Verses 4 through 10 showed the vast amounts of types of pleasure he took part in which he concluded, verse 2, of laughter, madness. And of mirth, he questioned, what does it accomplish? Verse 11, all of it was vanity and grasping for the wind, no profit under the sun. Well, now Solomon turns back to wisdom again through verse 16. Really, what he's doing here is he's combining what we've already heard at the end of chapter 1 concerning wisdom and knowledge, and also what we heard last Lord's Day concerning pleasure and laughter, amusement, entertainment. Remember, he deemed laughter madness, and you see that word there in verse 12, right alongside wisdom. And what this really amounts to, beloved, is a consideration of both wisdom and folly. Sometimes, beloved, you make the determination on something. Perhaps you've made it too quickly, a decision about it. And you come back to your decision, you consider it again. It seems Solomon is sort of doing that here. Right? It's almost like we might say, I mean, come on, there has to be satisfaction, there has to be some happiness in pursuing wisdom and pleasure. There has to be something. And so Solomon seeks a second time, and so he makes sure he's done all that he can to look into wisdom and madness and folly, to consider his heart and what he's taken part in, to compare them with each other, that he would better understand them, so as contraries often help us to understand and illustrate each other. And so then verse 12 says, for what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. And so the first point this evening is what we've already covered, really, the vanity of wisdom and pleasure. The vanity of wisdom and pleasure. In other words, if Solomon was just a normal man, then what a bold and lofty attempt by him to conclude so confidently this sentence of vanity and grasping for the wind of all wisdom and great undertakings of pleasures. And his answer is here to all of us who might say, well, Solomon, that was like 3,000 years ago, right? Well, how can what he had and what he experienced really be compared to what we have today? You're right. In a way, that's a good question. Because you have more, way more than most commoner type of people. In comparison to a king of Solomon's stature, the commoner under him, you have probably way more than any of those types of people in that day. But King Solomon had way more wisdom and pleasures than you will ever have. And so he answers here at the end of verse 12 that no man after him could do more than he had done in his investigation, since he was so great in wisdom and so great in power and so great in authority, which led to great pleasures and entertainments. Anyone in the future who would try to engage in the same work that Solomon had done and could do nothing but what Solomon did. If they could do it, they could do nothing more than what Solomon did. And the result would be the same. Now, this is not arrogance on Solomon's part, because we read, if we go to 1 Kings 3, we would read the Lord speaking about Solomon. He says, see, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. And so first off, Solomon was made by the Lord to be wiser and richer than any who were before him or after him. And second, he not only examined his heart once, but he comes back now a second time to do so again to make sure he was correct. Verse 13, Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Under the sun, beloved, wisdom excels and exceeds folly. There is a great difference between wisdom and folly. We know that if we just went to the book of Proverbs. And there's even a great difference between wisdom and pleasure. Just like light excels darkness, thus is better. Light is better, and so wisdom is better than folly. And where there's darkness and the light comes in, the darkness flees. So with wisdom and folly. When wisdom comes in, folly is destroyed or put down. So there is some good with wisdom. There's something good about wisdom, whereas if we just look at pleasure, madness. And folly, what you find perishes. One theologian rightly describes it, the sorrow of wisdom is in the getting, but the sorrow of pleasures is after their use and enjoyment. It's gone. Is wisdom under the sun vanity? Yes. Knowledge under the sun vanity? Yes. They do not help anyone become happy or satisfied in this life of themselves. Yet they are better than just having pleasures that are fleeting. And so there is some value to wisdom under the sun. Of itself, it's vanity, but with knowledge here on earth, it can give us pleasure. Be useful for interaction with creation under the sun. In that way, it excels folly. Just as light excels darkness. Right? Under the sun, what is the light of the sun or the moon or the stars or electricity where we make light, if we could use that kind of phraseology? Of itself, really, it's vanity being able to see. But yet, compared to the darkness under the sun, light is of great value here. Not lasting value, but value nonetheless. It's useful. Darkness, though, is uncomfortable and not useful at all for anything good. You look at verse 14, it says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So in other words, Solomon still from verse 13, comparing wisdom and light to folly and darkness, and saying the one who has gained wisdom can see more clearly. He can look and see the way that is set out before him. Things that come, he can take notice of and change his plan. But the fool is in the moment and can't see the consequences of his actions. He's in the dark. And yet, beloved, what does he say? Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. He's wise enough to see this. The same thing happens to the wise man and to the fool. Verse 15, it says, so I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. Me being Solomon, the wise one. As it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. Since all that is now, that now is, will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. The result in the end is the same under the sun. What's the point of being more wise here on earth then? He says in chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes verse 14, there is vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. The same sickness, the same sword devours the wise and fools. In the end, death comes to all. And so the conclusion, again, is this also is vanity. The vanity of wisdom and pleasure. Now, secondly, the vanity of work. The vanity of work, verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. So Solomon, again, thinking under the sun, considering, examining his heart, all is vanity, wisdom and pleasure, vanity. What's the point? Therefore, I hated life. What's the point of life? Right? He's on the verge of becoming a nihilist. Someone who believes life is meaningless. They don't believe in anything. He's weary of living to so little purpose. We're all in the end, die. No matter if you're wise or fool, rich or poor, all people in the end die. So what's the point? It's vanity. And so all the work that is done, all of Solomon's work that's done under the sun distressed him. It's all vanity. It's all just grasping for the wind. Work does not satisfy. Work does not make one happy, because you just have to keep on working. And working, and working, and for what gain? To die. Verse 18 again. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Think of all the great works that Solomon had done or brought about. You go back to verse 4, the houses, the vineyards, the orchards, the gardens, the pools or the aqueducts, etc., all of them incapable of bringing any comfort to his heart. He says, I hated all my labor. Why? What did it amount to? Because he says, I must leave it to the man who will come after me. For most of us, that is our children. For Solomon, too, it would be Rehoboam. He didn't know that yet. But Solomon, he knew himself, would die. And he's gained all those things we heard last Lord's Day, all those pleasures, the houses, all sorts of things, worked diligently, worked wisely for all of them to attain it all. He doesn't get to take those things with him, right? When we die, we don't take things with us. We don't take anything from this world with us. So what's the point? He has to leave it. And here he says he has to leave it to someone else. Usually he says here the one who comes after him. Usually our children. Here his son. So then what's the point of work then? If you work and work and work all of your life toiling to gain estate or property, what's the point under the sun? Verse 19. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? That is, the one who comes after me, who will get all these things, who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? But he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. So Solomon doesn't know what Rehoboam will do with it. We don't know what our children will do with what we have. We actually... No, in Solomon's case, with Rehoboam, he doesn't know. He hasn't died, and he can't see what happens after his death. But we know Rehoboam didn't do very good with Solomon's things. But he doesn't know, and we don't know of whatever we work for and whatever we leave to our children, what they will do. We don't know. They could waste it and get rid of it, throw it away in a moment. Will they use it wisely or be foolish with it? Who knows? For Solomon, his son will be king. He says he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. But Solomon, again, he doesn't get to take anything with him. It's vanity. And for all of us, it's vanity. We don't get to take it with us. Verse 20, therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. this also is vanity and a great evil. At the end of the day, we die and leave all of it, and those who have leave all of it to those who have not worked for it, giving an inheritance. They didn't work for it. They've never labored for it. And this too turns his heart and works in him despair, because they're not going to treat those things that we thought were pretty precious to us, right? They're not going to treat those things as we treated those things that were precious to us. They didn't toil over it and attain it all and therefore hold it securely. They're just probably just going to, it's over here and it's not as important. They'll waste it. It's vanity and a great evil under the sun. Verse 22, for what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Right? Chapter 1, verse 3, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? What about those who work less but have still a quiet life, nothing exceptional or glorious in property and things, and like the rich, like Solomon, they die the same. Whether it's from all of us here, we all will die. You might even struggle with this. Verse 23, your heart even can't rest at night. You can't sleep because of work. Because there's no rest. The nighttime is for resting from labors, but consistently thinking and or still working in those times. Just you can't fall asleep because you're still thinking about your work. And that leads to no rest. That's vanity. But what is the best use of work and labor under the sun? Verse 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Our labor is vanity under the sun. Work is vanity, but we all must do it. And so we might as well enjoy it, to do it cheerfully, to take comfort in it, to do good with it. That's where Solomon concludes this chapter. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink. And so at least all the labors that you go through, at least you get to eat and drink. And at least you can sit there in your nice home or decent home compared to all the rest of the world and rest at night. You have a bed to sleep in. Each one has a bed to sleep in. Well, Solomon, as we've said, as king, was way more wealthy. He had all the pleasures and entertainment. So at night, at least he could more easily than all of us, he could at least enjoy whatever he wanted in that time at nighttime when the work was done. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? Might as well enjoy what we have while it lasts. And so enjoy the good of your labor. But here's Solomon beginning to summarize chapters 1 and 2 right here. Everything under the sun is vanity. But he ends verse 24 with, this also I saw was from the hand of God. Yet true happiness, beloved, is not found under the sun or under heaven here on this earth, but above the sun in heaven with the Lord alone. This also I saw, he says, was from the hand of God. The Lord provided these things. The goodness, the enjoyment, the happiness is not found in man. It isn't found in work. It isn't found in wisdom. And it's not found in pleasure. It is found alone in God, the creator of all good things. Solomon is here speaking of the greatest good which may be found under the sun. And that is in all of God's creation, which still has, even after the fall, still has some good after the fall and the corruption of the earth. The greatest good, which alone can be enjoyed in union with Christ, in the Lord. If we just look at the things and enjoy the things for what they are, then we will hate life. And hate our toil and labor. You will find nothing but disappointments day after day and vanity. But look now unto the Lord. Look now unto His tender mercies that are new every morning here on this earth. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Only as we come to the Lord first and trust His providences and blessings to us will we be able to truly rejoice in the temporal blessings here under the sun. Eating and drinking is not merely meant of that animal form of appetite, but understands and rests in the principle of 1 Corinthians, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. That's above the sun living. Wisdom, knowledge, pleasure, entertainment, amusement, work are all subordinate, secondary to He who sits on the throne. The Lord in Christ is primary. These things are secondary. And that's why when it comes to the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, and people were eating and drinking before others arrived, Paul commanded, the Lord through Paul commanded them to eat at home. If it comes from the Lord, then it must be enjoyed. God gave us work. We ought to enjoy it. He gave us wisdom. He gave us knowledge. He gave us pleasures. Enjoy those things in the bounds of righteousness and holiness under Christ. Not under the Son, but under Christ. In holiness and righteousness and union with Him. Verse 25, it says, for who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? Solomon in God's providence can, above all others, enjoy God's good blessings more than others because of the station that the Lord had given him in His sovereign plan. Verse 26 is the final summary. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in His sight. But to the sinner, He gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. So God gives wisdom, He gives knowledge and joy to a man who is good in His sight. To the man who is good. Who is good in the sight of God? But those who come to Jesus Christ by faith and rest their lives in Him alone. They're imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, credited with His righteousness. You must be in union with Christ. And so you're called, just as the Lord called to Levi, to Matthew, follow me. Come to Christ, come to Jesus, grasp hold of Him, turn from your sins unto Him, and you'll be found good in the sight of God the Father. Only for the goodness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone imputed to you and received by faith alone. If there is any joy, any happiness, any satisfaction that lasts eternally in the things of the world, you can only have it if you are in union with Jesus Christ. Because the Lord through Solomon discriminates, doesn't He? Remember preaching, when we went through preaching, there's this discrimination that should be in preaching. Solomon here discriminates. There are those who are good in His sight, His children, God's children, and there are the sinners, unbelievers. But to the sinner He gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. So in other words, if you deny Christ, you don't follow Him, you don't come to Him, you don't believe in Him by faith that He died on the cross for your sins, He says that the Lord gives all that they gather, the sinner, that's you. Everything you gather and your work to do is not for your enjoyment, not lasting satisfaction, not lasting pleasure. It is not unto joy, it is not unto satisfaction, it is not unto fulfillment or happiness. No, it's just unto loss. In the Lord's providence, He often brings about the labors of the wicked, the sinner, for the use and benefit of the godly, for the good, it says. You're remaining in your sins and seeking to find fulfillment and satisfaction from this world only leads to death, where it is all in the end meaningless. And so He says, this also is vanity and grasping for wind. Under the sun is vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But when we live for the Lord in union with Him, above the sun, there is fullness of joy forevermore. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, that in Him are pleasures forevermore, fullness of joy forevermore, happiness, true happiness, and blessing and satisfaction. But if all that we do here on this earth is apart from your Son, Jesus Christ, and faith in Him, and love for you, and submission to you, and obedience to you, and trusting in the righteousness of Christ alone, and if it is only in trusting ourselves, and it is vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's like grasping for the wind. And no matter what we do, if apart from Jesus Christ, for each one could be the most brilliant man in all the world, or the fool, the richest man in all the world, or the poorest, if there is no faith in Christ, no love for Him, no turning from sins unto Him, then the end is the same for each one: death. And we pray that it would not be true of any here, but rather that we would all come unto you in Christ your Son and lay our hearts down before you, resting in Christ and His redeeming work for us there on the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.